coming in from the foyer and coming in from the parking lot, I hope, and coming in from wherever. But it's good to be here, always. And got a special guest this morning. It's going to be blessing us, Dwayne Swilley. But before then, what I want to do, I want to open up with prayer. You know, we've been praying for the last, I think, 5 or 6 weeks now. Got a list of names of people that we've been praying for to come back to God or come to God, whichever fits them the best. And we've had several testimonies of people coming back to the Lord. And one in particular was quite a conversion. And we're just thrilled. It's been a long, long time. When I was a little boy, we did that all the time in a Pentecostal church I was raised up in. They always had a list of names of people to pray for. And then when they came to the Lord or came back to the Lord, they would just scratch that name off, you know, and they're back in. So that's what we're doing. We're just continuing to pray for those, and we are believing God to do one of three things. Either they have a Damascus experience. For some people, I mean, you know, they just about got to have a Damascus experience. They got to have a light just shine in their face and go, hey, I'm God, I'm Jesus, you need me. And some just need to be wooed by the Holy Spirit in a strong, strong way. Some just need somebody to walk up to them and speak a word in due season to them, just to be able to speak to them where they can hear. And so would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you already for the testimonies that we are hearing about people coming back to you and coming to you. We continue to pray for the names of all the people that some are kinfolk, some are fathers, some are mothers, some are brothers and sisters, some are cousins, some are just friends. But you know the name of each and every one of those people. And we claim the scripture, Lord, that with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we request, God, that these people be drawn by you, have an intervention with you, someone speak a due word in due season to them that will awaken them back to where they really need to be. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Changes all for new years. Father, we worship you today. We thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for the power of your presence. We thank you that we are found in you, that we are one by you, and we celebrate and we give you thanks today.
Oh,
Presence. We thank you, God, that you said if we go into hell, you're there. We ascend into the heavens, you're there. We look to our left, you're there. We look to our right, you're there. I love the story of Moses, and I love that Moses was convinced that without God's presence, he couldn't do anything. Moses was convinced that, God, I don't want to go anywhere unless I know that you're there. And see, we know that he's always here. We already have the knowledge that he's always here. But sometimes we just have to say, even the knowing, even the truth, even the reality that he's here, sometimes we have to say, God, I don't want to go where you aren't there. And this is what God answered to Moses. I'm sure God's saying, Moses, you can't go anywhere where I'm not. But God still responded to Moses. And God said, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses. And not only am I going to go with you, not only am I going to be with you through that Red Sea, not only am I going to part it for you, not only am I going to go with you, but he says, and I will give you rest. And he said, and everything will be fine with you. You see, we have the knowledge, we understand the presence of God, and we understand that wherever we go, He is, because if I walk into a room, He's there. If you walk into a room, He's there. But the ability to say, God, I don't want to go anywhere without you, for Him just to respond, I will personally go with you. That I'm going to part that sea for you. And not only am I going to do that thing that you need in your life for you, because I'm your Heavenly Father and I get to do it and I want to do it, not only am I going to do that thing for you, I'm going to give you rest, because you're going to be able to rest in knowing that I am sovereign, that I am good, that I want good for you and I have good for you. I've got a plan for a life and a future, so I'm going to give you rest in that, and everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be all right. There's one thing my dad has said for 45 years of ministry. Everything is going to be all right. Aren't you thankful that we get to say, God, I don't want to be without you. I don't want to go without you. And aren't you thankful for a God who says, I will personally go with you. Amen. This next song says, may God be everywhere. Where that I go, His light to guide me, His arms to hold me. When I look to my left, He's there. When I look to my right, He's there. Nowhere can I go and His presence not be with me, giving me rest and telling me, I got you. I got you. I got you. Amen.
To guide me, your hands to hold me.
Wow, that song reminds me of just last Sunday night, a week ago, last Sunday night. We was in Cabo, and we was eating our last night in a restaurant. And while we were there, the piano man was playing at the bar in this little area right there on the beach, and he snuck in a worship song. And he started playing a worship song, so Dusty and Anna started singing it, just real softly singing it. And we just thinking, God is everywhere we go. And then right after that, he kind of connects with us. So Anna gets on the keyboard and she plays and sings Oceans right there in that bar. God is everywhere we go, man. Everywhere we go. God bless you. You may be seated. Several years ago, there was a movement in the church world. Always has been in certain denominations. There's always been bishops. There's always been apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Bible says, therefore, the perfecting of the saints for the working of the ministry till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And there was a real movement of ordaining a lot of men bishops. And I realized when they were doing that, that they were ordaining a lot of men who weren't bishops. They were just putting the title on them. But there are bishops. It's a scriptural word, and it talks about men who have God has chosen not only to minister to the flock, but minister to ministers. And Dwayne Swilley has done that over his lifetime. He has been a bishop to many ministers and young men coming up in the faith. And so when he's introduced and he's advertised as Bishop Dwayne Swilley, you can rest on that, underline it, and put a period there. This is a real, genuine, absolute, apostolic man who travels the world ministering this wonderful grace and mercy to everybody. So would you welcome Bishop Dwayne Swilley.
Okay, well, how's everybody on this wonderful sunshiny day? Well, I am so glad to be here today with you. Can I have a little something to put my iPad on? Is there a little something? Thank you. Lord, let me have hair like that again. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in miracles. I really made a deal with the Lord when I started to travel again. Thank you so much, son. I appreciate that. I'll just take this. Thank you. I made a promise to the Lord, or the Lord instructed me, don't call anybody and ask for appointments, because my dad was an evangelist for 25 years. I know how to call guys and get appointments. But he said, I want to set your schedule from now on. 5 years ago when I put my son in as senior pastor. And so that's what I've done. And I've not been disobedient to that. As I was telling somebody this morning, I don't get a lot of love from America, but the rest of the world loves me. So last night, one of my very best friends for 40 years, which of course Pastor Buren ministered to and loved him through some very trying times in his life, Joel Casoria got married, and I married him to this beautiful Honduran princess, and I prayed for strength. He's 60 and she's 40. And I said, God, supernaturally help this man as he goes forward in this life. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. There were a lot of people in the room that have made a phenomenal difference in the body of Christ, because that family is very much, of course, the family that brought Christianity to television, the TBN family. And so he sends his love. Pastor, and to you, Barbara, for being such a safe haven for him in a very, very special time. Griffin will always be this church, not Griffin, this church. And it happens to be in Griffin. It's very, very special to my wife and I and my children because, and I'll mention it in the message, what you mean to us. And I don't just say that. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Buren Goss is one of the most real, authentic Christians who loves Jesus that I've ever met. And I know thousands and thousands and thousands of ministers. I never asked for an appointment, but I did call Buren and ask to come here. So I was not invited. I invited myself here this morning. So if this doesn't happen this morning, then we'll know it was because I was disobedient. And when the Bible says, by your fruit you will know them, Dusty, my goodness. Every time I come, the anointing on you just grows. And not just worship and singing, but in the delivery of the word and power. And it's like you got the best of both mom and dad. And then some other stuff. I don't know if Chris has anything to do with anything, but I honor you. I pray for you. I love you. I'm very excited about your destiny. I want to be involved in that. To all the rest of my friends, I love you. Connie Zebarth is like my sister. She really is my sister. And the window that we had to work together every day was one of the happiest times of my life. And you were part of all making all of that happen. And good gracious, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Jason, I sort of like you. But you made Missy happy, and so you're all in. You're always good for me. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Are you ready? Will, I love you. I love all of you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Reach up and touch your ears and repeat after me. Father, let me hear what the Spirit of God would say to me today. Let that word become flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Reclaiming our ancient paths. Man, Buren Goss has some of the most phenomenal series. Let me just tell you, what I'm going to say today has nothing to do with that. Okay, just joking. It's so wonderful to come speak at a church that's been taught well in the Word. Because you don't have to go and build a lot of foundations. You can really just start with what God has said to you. Joey and Kitty, you know you're my favorites. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay, here we go. I want you to turn in the Bible to Luke 19, 41 through 44. And I really want to speak about the hour of visitation. This is a brand new word, a revelation that God gave me this week. I was with the Spirit. And there in the Word of God are years of visitation, which I believe 2018 is. I believe it's a year of visitation. Then you know that there are days of visitation. You go through Jeremiah and it talks all about that. But then there comes these hours of visitation. I'm talking about, and I think we underestimate how many visitations you were talking about just a while ago, how many visitations God wants to have with us. Because every visitation, it changes the dynamics of everything. Of everything. And so I want you to look at the emphasis of this. As he drew near, he saw Jerusalem and he wept over her. If you're taking notes today, I want you to realize compassion is the precursor to any miracle. Actually, compassion is what sets the stage for visitation. Everybody understand that? Okay. So he's looking at Jerusalem, and you know a lot of stuff's going on, and you know that Jesus is not confused. He understands his path, and he realizes that the folks in Jerusalem, or a lot of the folks in Jerusalem, are about to murder him, torture him. And yet he looks at that city and he weeps. And here's the key. Why is he weeping? Saying, if you had only recognized this day the things that lead to shalom. Now, you know, I have, the last time I was speaking, Donya Greenberg was here, who the Tree of Life, the Tree of Life version of the Bible, which is, I believe, the most accurate version ever. And shalom means the destruction of chaos. Amen. Not just peace. It means, how many of you would like to see God destroy chaos in your life? I mean, not try to temper it down, but destroy chaos. And he says, if you had only recognized what was going on that led to the destruction of chaos, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Now, I want you to please write down, God is a God of windows and doors, windows and doors. And if you're cognizant of what the Holy Spirit is doing, there are these visitations, and I'm not trying to get mystical, but I'm just telling you, God is the God of visitation. And he has me hear this word today, this word to tell you, you're coming into a season of visitations. One vision, you know this, Pastor, one vision, one revelation changes the dynamic of everything. We have been involved in those things before. Okay. So look what he says. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will surround you with barricades and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they won't leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Do you know what I believe worship really is? It's when we come together and we so control the atmosphere and the Holy Spirit that people can have visitations. Right? We're making it where the fog and the haze of life and all those things are pulled aside, where we can have one of these visitations. Now, this is what I want to do. God told me just to do a little historical journey. And I grew up in church almost every night. And the one thing that really concerned me was my baby brother really lost his way in high school. He got really involved in drugs. And I didn't know what to do to reach him. I'm 5.5 years older than him. And he lost his way so much in the 11th grade, he came and he moved in my house. And I just graduated from Georgia Tech, and I started my own company, and we were buying these old Victorian homes downtown, and we were renovating, and we were selling them. And he goes to my uncle's church. He goes to my uncle's house one night, and he's high on drugs, and he's in a mess. And my uncle prays over him, and God delivers him from drugs, and it was incredible. He came to me the next day. I had bought him a house next door to my house just to watch out for him. I put him as a partner in my company just so I could watch out for him. How many of you have done almost everything you know how to do to try to help some family issue or some relational issue or something, and you're just kind of out of options? What do you do now? Now, I really feel like I'm by the Spirit connecting with some people in the room. And so he comes to me and he says, I went to my uncle's house, our uncle's house last night. God freed me. I'm saved. Whatever. I couldn't believe it. I went to my uncle and I said, what can I do to help in the church? I said, I just want to help because what you did for my brother. Let me help. Let me do something. And so I started a little Bible study. And then that Bible study, we had a church that was about 150 people and there was one black person. Well, I grew up in a black world. And so I wanted the youth minister to go, so I went down the hood and picked up seven black kids and brought them to this Bible study. So there's seven white kids, seven black kids. And after the Bible study, we stopped by a ball game that I was playing in. To make a long story short, I lost my cool, my temper. I got in a fight. And all those kids that had looked up to me, they were all devastated. And I came home, Chris, and I said to her, I said, that's the last day I'll ever be in ministry. These kids have seen enough, and all they need is some out-of-control guy breaking their faith in who God is. And I had a visitation. So about 2 days later, and my wife, I was down there crying on the floor, and Sonny said, get up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You don't supposed to quit. You're supposed to learn a lesson. She said, get up and go tell those kids you're sorry. Get up and repent and go tell those kids you're sorry. Tell them that God can forgive them. That night, it was a visitation, Jason. It was a visitation. God showed up with those 14 kids. In a year, there were 1,500 kids. In another year, there was 2,500, 3,000 kids every Monday night. Church grew from 1,500 to from 150 to 15,000. What happened? One visitation. One visitation. I want everybody to raise your hand like this and just say, God, I'm open for a visitation. Man, I could so prophetically move. Let me just tell you something. The dreams that you have in your heart, Joe, one visitation away. Dreams you have, Chris, in your heart. Come on, Jason, one visitation. One visitation. I'm here to tell you, if I could call everybody's name in the room, and don't think you're too old or you've missed your window. I said one visitation away. And so, you know, golly, the whole thing happened. Mike Oliver, such a buddy, he came down. We started doing new things together. Y'all remember back in the day, this place was just rocking with kids. Y'all, you remember, Will. One visitation, because you see, visitations are contagious. If you're around somebody that has visitations, guess what happens? It increases your hunger and your situation. If you could speak to them, you could speak to me. Everybody just reach up, touch your ears and say, God, I want a visitation to this morning. I can't hear you. God, I want a visitation this morning. And so, wow, a 17-year run off of that visitation in a series. And there are lesser and greater visitations, right? There are some visitations that give you a little tweak in life. And then there are other visitations that just change your life. Right. And so I'm there and I go to Buffalo, New York. And I get off the plane and Tommy Reed is having this visitation. And he says, you're the man to move to Buffalo, New York, to take the largest church in the north. They had about 4,000 or 5,000 members back then. And he said, you're going to take this church to 10,000 or 20,000. I was traveling with my wife, minding my own business. We just built our dream home there, beautiful home. And a visitation will interrupt your business as usual. It keeps your life exciting. Yeah, it's David. He gave the spirit of adventure. You start living for a visitation. See, I want to create such a hunger in you this morning for a visitation. So I go up there. Southern boy in Buffalo, New York. Think about that. There was no amount of clothes I could put on that would make me warm enough. Lord have mercy. The wind would come across Lake Erie, and it's the snow capital of the world. It just dumps snow. Every day is gray. You don't have to look at what the weather's going to be. Snow. Cold and snow. I'm freezing. I'm up there. Buren, my buddy, comes to visit me. Things are going great. They love me. Tommy Reed has had a serious automobile accident, and it had cost him some of his short-term memory. God completely healed him, and we were going to do a year's transition, and I was going to take over. And so he comes to me 10 months into it, and he says, Dwayne, you're supposed to be the pastor, but not now. Now, in my mind, I went, you know, I did sell my dream home. I moved from a beautiful city to this armpit of this place that, I mean, everybody's sort of depressed. The steel industry shut down, and all these people that used to make like 50 bucks an hour are making like $5 an hour. And it's, people are leaving left and right. But God said there, I was there. We had this incredible time with our children. And he said, he was younger than me at that time. Younger than I am now. And he said, Dwayne, not now. And I had a visitation. And God said to me, you don't have to do nothing. Just listen, because in the next 30 days, I'm going to say something to you. Everybody right now, just say, God, speak to me. And so, 5 days in. On the same day, this man called me and Terry Shaw called me, independent of each other. And Pastor Buren says, I don't know if this will make any sense to you, but if you ever wanted to move from Buffalo and come back to Atlanta, you could move to Griffin. Our ministry would help underwrite you, and we'd pay for your moving back. Visitation. I said to Sonny, get some boxes. We're going back. We come back here, and there's no way to tell you thank you enough for the way you loved us. Barbara, the way you loved us, you made us feel so at home. And we got this beautiful home. I'm here. I'm traveling around the world a lot of times by myself and my children and Sonny. Y'all took care of them. Thank you. You're kind of a weak person if you don't thank the people that helped you get where you are. And so we lived in Griffin. I'm fine living here. Griffin is just like a city of nice people. Isn't it? It's kind of nice. It's like you got out of Atlanta and it's just nice. People are nice here. People know how to cook here. People say hello to everybody. It's just nice. Everybody talks a little slower. You got the southern drawl working incredible. Nobody honks. It's just a great place. And so I go on vacation to Miami, and one night the Lord tells me to go out, and I go out for a walk. I'm about 40th Street, a little bit north of South Beach, and I'm just walking down there 11:30 one night, visitation. God says, I want you to move your family to Miami. And from here, you'll touch the whole world. Now, if I hadn't have had that visitation, my three children would not have met their mates. Do you understand how that the visitation that you have affects everybody in your world? The average person in their lifetime affects 10,000 people. We wouldn't have met. If I hadn't have come down there, I wouldn't have brought Missy down there. You understand? You understand how that you being obedient to the visitation that God, and then God said to me, I was in Milwaukee because I had still several months of appointments, and God said, if you don't do it in the next 3 months, no need to move at all. You'll have missed your window. Let me just tell you, when a visitation comes, it demands two things, obedience and action. And so I tried to sell my house in Griffin. It doesn't sell. I moved to Miami. Oh, this is incredible. My last service before I start Hope is in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. We go to this little, beautiful little town to a church of about 300 or 400. And the first night, every time I'm preaching, there's a guy like sitting where you are right now. And he was looking at me like this. And it really kind of started irritating me. Every time I would walk by, he was just going. And in the middle of the message, God says to me, ask him what he wants. And it really wasn't with the best of attitudes, but I just stopped. And I said, sir, what is it that you want? And with this monotone voice, he goes, I want to hear. He was deaf. He was 60 years old and had been deaf since he was a child. And he was trying to read my lips. It was the moment of a visitation. And God said to me, get your two little girls, Joni and Esther, tell them to put some oil on their fingers and put their fingers in his ear. And everybody's watching. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And when my daughters took their fingers out of his ears, he started screaming, it's too loud. Needless to say, chaos broke loose. Instead of having a weekend meeting, we went for a week and a half, morning and night. And so we get down to pray, and I said, well, God, we're about to go to Miami. I got no money for a house. My house in Griffin has not sold. And I said to my brother, what are you believing for? And my brother, because at the beginning, we were just going to do a weekend. He says, I believe for $2,000. And yes, 25, 28 years ago, it was a lot of money. And he said, what are you believing for? So I was going to have much more faith than him. I said, $3,000. I said, Sonny, what are you believing for? She said, $50,000. I said, woman, you have lost your mind. But I looked over, tears were coming down her face. She had had a visitation. We start to leave. And there is, we are having morning and night for a week and a half. And he hands me the honorarium. He goes, we don't understand. We've never done this before, but here it is. This is what came in. It was a check for $40,000. And I went, oh, my God, thank you. And I look over to Sonny. Sonny's going, it's not $50,000. I said, you ungrateful woman. She said, I had a visitation.
I miss God.
So there's this woman that's on the front row with two little kids. And I'm telling you, I'm not dating myself, but this woman was a flashback to the hippie age. She was like an all tie-dye. And during worship, she kind of did these crazy dances. She would start, it was sort of like a, and I just thought, man, this woman have spirits or what's the deal? And her two little boys were like doing the same kind of dance. And I was going, man, maybe they were at Woodstock and got stuck or something. And so when I started to leave, she had a letter, the 17-page handwritten letter. And I said, Sonny, read the letter. And she read it. And it took a while for her to read it.
2 hours.
And we were 2 hours down the road. On the last page was a check for $10,000. Let me tell you, you don't have a lack of resources. You have a lack of visitation. There was nothing, Genesis 1, and God spoke. And every time he visits, things are created. And so, visitations come to those who do not react, but they ask God what's next. It's two men. Luke 24. Jason, come here, Will, just for a second. Two men, they're on the road to Emmaus. They're on the road to Emmaus, and they're like really sad. They're actually like weeping. See, I can always count on Jason. See, Jason comes through from, there we go, Will, much better. And they're so, listen, full of grief, and they're so concerned about what happened in the past, they were not aware of what God was doing now, and certainly not what God was doing next. So they're weeping and they're crying. And Jesus walks up and says, "What are you crying about?" And they said, "But where have you been? Jesus was killed. The man who changed our life." They were hooked in past visitations. Is there anything sadder than somebody living on a past visitation? Yeah, back in 70, you know, back in the move of God, back in the good old days. Folks, forget about the good old days. It's the good now. Look. And Jesus says, really? Jesus is in the now. Can you say that? Jesus is in the now. What does he said this morning? He wants a visitation with you. And he said, guys, come on. I want to take you somewhere. I want to give you a visitation. Three guys, Mount of Transfiguration, were ready to go up and have a visitation. He knew that none of the rest of them were ready. But they said, no. We don't want to go where you want to go. The Bible says they constrained him and they pulled him to dinner. And they come and they sit down and they eat together. And they're there and they're eating together because Jesus is not leading them. They are leading Jesus. And if you lead Jesus, you'll never have a visitation. They're eating, and the Bible says, he was gone, and they looked at each other, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us, for we missed our visitation?" Where was he trying to take them? He was trying to take them to Jerusalem, where in the upper room, they were about to experience the power that was going to transform their whole life. And they were living on where Jesus was, not where Jesus was going. What do you think would have happened had these two guys gone? The message that we call the ascension message, where Jesus goes up at the end, 500 people. 500 people. I like the number of people that could fit in this room. They're all there. And Jesus personally goes, "If you guys will all go to Jerusalem and wait, I'm going to send you something that's going to change the world." 380 of them get lost somewhere. If you don't rehearse the visitation, you will lose the power of the visitation. I was at, God has really given me favor in the Latin world, Spanish-speaking world, and I was at this big conference, 100 nations watching by TV, 60 nations there, leaders in the room, and I'm there, and for whatever reason, I had gone from a main speaker in the main auditorium at prime time to main auditorium speaker at not so prime time to a workshop speaker. And I didn't know what had I done. I know that they liked me. I knew that. If you get offended, you'll never get a visitation. And so I said to Sonny, I don't care if they move me to a workshop speaker. We're going to have the right spirit because today could be a visitation. And we're sitting on the front row at this conference, and all of a sudden, Sean Bolts, who is one of the greatest last day prophets in the world, this guy is just like, I mean, he would pick people out of the, and say, you live in this nation, on this street, and God's going to do this. I'm talking about the real deal. And so there I'm sitting on the front row with her, and you can go to our website and you can see it. And he gives the next 2 years of my life and my wife's life laid out, and it's come to pass. Everything, but I listen to it once a week. And every time I do, it renews that visitation. How many of you have ever had a visitation from God? You've really had a visitation of God? How many of you know, if you don't rehearse it, what happens? You lose it. And then all of a sudden, something happens one day, and go, oh, yeah. I remember when that visitation came, and then whatever you don't feed dies. Thank you, guys. And so I see, oh, my goodness, at Jesus' baptism in Luke 3:21-22, you see, I was talking with John Kasori, Joel's older brother, and his wife was dying with cancer. And in one day, because he knew this guy, like the most powerful guy over there in Jewish tourism, the head of it, he takes them to places you could never go. And he went and he says, everybody's going there in Jordan and they believe that's where Jesus was baptized. That's not where he was baptized. This is where he was baptized right here. And it's a very shallow place full of reeds and full of mud. And Jesus just walks up and he's seeing all this. And there's a visitation, and God says to him, go down there and be baptized. And when he shows up, John has a visitation. You want to be around people who are sensitive to God, who have encounters with God, because it activates something inside of you. And John goes, behold, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. I'm not worthy to even take your sandal off. Jesus says, forget it. If this visitation is to happen, you've got to baptize me. And the Ethiopians that have the actual ground there where Jesus was baptized said that when they baptized him, when they were baptizing those people, it was like a muddy soup. And when he came up, there was mud all over him. But there was a visitation, and God tears heaven open, and he goes, that's my boy. That's what I love this. I love this, Chris. Do you know what Jesus needed more than anything? Affirmation. That's why. If Jesus needs affirmation, how much more do we? Can I tell you, he loves you. He affirms you. And there all of a sudden, God speaks. Who hears? You know, you can come here on Sunday and God can speak, but who hears? To some people, it sounded like thunder. It sounded like bad distortion. To other people, they heard, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. A visitation. Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John are just, they're incredibly prepped. This is going to be the visitation of visitations, right? Just pray for me with 1 hour, and you're going to have the visitation that's going to change your life. And twice, they couldn't keep their eyes open. Can I tell you, visitation comes for people who understand prayer is a mindset.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like every day walking around and just going, God, what's going on? What's going on? And you can see a billboard and God will go, this. You can watch a commercial. How many of y'all cry at commercials? Just me? Just me? Baby, I cry all the time. If I'm not crying, there's something wrong with me. I, my spirit's not open. If I'm not laughing and crying, you got to know yourself. I'm ready for a visitation. It doesn't matter what song comes on. Michael Jackson could come on with Man in the Mirror, and I have a spiritual epiphany. You listen to that song? Don't make me go to Garth Brooks right now. I will tell you. Visitation. You say, well, Bishop, you don't know where I am. John 4. Now, however much relationship problems you think you've had, this woman in a conservative culture where they stone women who are caught in an act of adultery, right? Has been married 5 times. And she's living with a guy that's not her husband. Now, you're talking about a stonable offense here. You're talking about somebody with zero respect.
Right.
And she shows up to our Messiah, our Savior, the very embodiment of how God works. And she has this visitation. And in this visitation, oh my God, she becomes the most powerful evangelist in the New Testament.
Right.
One visitation.
Yeah.
One visitation. Every day, Rahab gets up and goes to work. How many of you know Rahab? You know the story? You know what she was doing? She was running a brothel, a house of prostitution on the wall. And one day, 2 men show up at the door. That wasn't uncommon. That was her business. Men showing up at the door. Now, what if she had been prejudiced? Another man. Give me your money. And these 2 men, every man had disappointed her in her life. And these 2 men say that she doesn't know. We want you to risk your life to hide us. That if you get caught, you're going to get killed immediately. Treason against your city. One visitation. She goes, I'll hide you in the roof. Do you realize the faith it took for her to make that transition? She hides them. They come up and said, have you seen the men? She was great at lying.
She said, yes. Mm-hmm.
They went that way. And they run off. One visitation, she goes from a prostitute whore to the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to tell me one visitation can't change everything in your life? Caleb! Oh, my God. Because of a generation of faithlessness that did not understand a visitation, they all have to die. 40 years later, they're making the next stop to come over. And he is a man that's so renewed at 80 years old, he goes, please give me the territory where there's still giants. Because when you've had visitation from God, it renews your strength. You mount up with wings as eagles. You have an energy and you have a zest for life because of a visitation. I remember talking with T.L. Osborne, and T.L. Osborne was like a horrible failure. Everywhere he went, his crusades were just terrible. And he said he was in Seattle, Washington one night, and he and Daisy were there in the bed, and he was going, God, what is it that you want me to do? And Jesus walked into the room, and he had one visitation. And that man became one of the most powerful men this earth has ever known. One encounter. What he did in Africa,
right.
Crusades of 500,000 people, that was nothing. Mountains of crutches and wheelchairs and people who were deaf and people who were dumb, people who were blind. I would say to him, Brother Osborne, what do? You go into these areas that are controlled by demoniacs and witch doctors. And he looked at me and he says, Dwayne, when the spirits hear I'm coming, they leave about a week before I get there. And he was like, just to see, when you've had a visitation, it puts you in the place of authority. Your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the spirits start cutting up and all this other stuff. And they said, can we go into pigs? And Jesus said, yes. That was it. The hour of your visitation. Eagle's Way. A visitation is coming. And I'm not talking about someday. I'm talking about you, I believe, are in the hour of your visitation. How long does it take? The biggest cheating tax collector in the town. He's so short he can't see. Zach crawls up a tree and he's looking. And Jesus walks in. And whose house does Jesus go with? Now you understand in the Old Testament Jewish faith, if you invited somebody to your table to eat, you were making covenant with them. So here's a guy that robs people tax-wise. He turns people, he loans them money, then he takes all their stuff. And Jesus goes, I want to go to your house. Why is that? Because he was the only one in the city ready for a visitation. People were celebrating with what they thought was praise and worship, but he was hungry for a visitation. And the minute that Jesus walks in his house, he doesn't have to do any teaching. He walks in his house and Jesus goes, he goes, forgive me. I'll give back everything I ever stole. I'll repay people 2 and 3 times. He said, I'm ready for a visitation. A visitation changes the way you do business. It changes the way you see life. It changes the way you think about everything. And so, the Bible says, in 1 Kings 17, the whole place was in famine. People were not having a bad day. They were dying. They were starving to death. And a woman has just enough flour. She's going to make one biscuit. Her son and her are going to eat it. Then they're going to die. And the man of God, Elisha, shows up. And he goes, let me tell you, would you like a visitation? And he says, then take that last biscuit, cook it, and let me eat it. Don't you think he had to choke that thing down? Looking at their frail bodies, malnourished, probably shaking, like you've seen the videos from Ethiopia or Somalia or those places where people are actually just dying, children of malnourished. That's the way they looked. And he says, make it for me. And they received it as a visitation. And the Bible says the woman had groceries the rest of her life. Now, do you believe these are random stories, or do you believe there's a pattern here? There's principles that are being said here that are telling us about an hour of visitation. Dusty, I am going to tell you, you're about to have a visitation. It's going to change the dynamics of everything. It's going to give you such a sovereign word. It's going to set you on your lane that I don't even like the word revival. I don't like that word because it's like we're going to do something we used to do in the past. No, no, no. God sent me here to tell you that if you're willing, He'll visit you. And when He walks into your life and you have that visitation, things are never the same. So it brings me to today. I've had Prophet Kim Clement, Prophet Cindy Jacobs, all of these people for years, they would prophesy, "You're going back to Atlanta." And I was like, "Yeah, you just keep thinking that. Because this is the last city I'd ever come back to." Although a lot of great things happen, a lot of painful things happen. I want you just to lift your hands. Would you just for a second say, "Father, I release all the past. All the pain. All the things that would keep me from receiving from God." Yeah. I want to release all that. I want a clean slate. Everybody say clean slate.
Clean slate.
Like clean slate. Clean slate. And so I'm sitting at Joni's house, my daughter Joan. And God said, "It's time to move back to Atlanta." And I know that voice. I know that voice. I live to hear that voice. I said, "God, if that's your will, I'm there." And then He said, "If you'll take care of your parents and honor them, everything you touch, I'll bless." You see, if you're open to a visitation, He'll just keep taking it to another level. And you say, "Will you do that?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then let's do this. I'm looking in the face of people right now that I'm telling you, if you could see you the way I see you, you are so ready for a visitation. Can you prophetically just say out loud, "This is my hour of visitation"? God said to me in worship at the end of this service, some of you have a visitation before you left this room. You don't think God wants to talk to you? And so I said, "Yes, I'll go." During the real estate, I used to have a beautiful home on the water in Miami, on Biscayne Bay. And when two events happened and real estate market crashed and some other events, and I lost my home, I had to declare bankruptcy. And Sonny and I have always been good with our money. It was just something that you couldn't change anything about. So for the first time in my life, I had to lease a house. It's a beautiful home. It's on the water behind the lake. There's a bird sanctuary, but I don't own it. The night I said yes to the visitation, the man who owns the home in Dallas called me up, and I've been ministering for 2 years. When I started with him, he hated God. He said, "I don't know how to explain this to you." He said, "But God told me to give you the house." I own a house debt-free on a lake, on a bird sanctuary with a beautiful pool, because I was obedient to the visitation. eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man. The things that God has in store for people who will just... And I said to Deborah, I said, what? How good is God? So I come up to Atlanta just to see. And when I do, I run into my friend Joel. Visitations will bring the right people into your life. Because I was honoring my mother and father, I took them to TBN. And I did a two-hour special on them. I interviewed them. Six-camera shoot just so I would have it for posterity. They're both 88. And Dottie, who's Jan Crouch's sister, comes and says, you know we're selling the TBN studio. And God said to me, this is the place your ministry will be. You know that the future of media is not television. This is the future of media right here. This is where people watch everything. This week we make an offer. I have never told this publicly yet. This week we make an offer from the TBN studio where we'll be talking about family, we're talking about marriage. God said to me, you're only dealing with half of the people, because the year I got married, 85% of the adult population, the year I was born, 85% of the adult population was married. Now, 40% of the adult population is married on their first marriage. And God says, write the book on life after divorce. I'm going to tell the world that there's life after. That old things are passed away, all things become new. And every time I go to Europe, this is the prevailing thought in Europe. If you get married before you're 35, you're an idiot. It's the truth. And people just live together. Don't you know that the enemy has a way of keeping the seed from being born? So now women just have this tiny little space to have children. And God says, write a book called Finding Your Soulmate, because I believe there's somebody for everybody. Because God's one preview of everything in the garden is, it's not good that man be alone. So he created somebody for him that was well matched. I believe there's somebody. We're going to talk to people around the world about what's real. Whatever we come up with, whatever visitation we have, We'll sit there, and we'll tell people, I can't keep chasing jets and going to this one place. We can go every place in one day. What happens with one visitation? I'm here today. How did I know that the guy that was going to cut the deal with me for the TBN studio is Joel's brother John, who's the general attorney for 30 years for TBN, director of the board. Who was I with last night all wedding long? Sitting at the table with John, because I need him for this visitation to come back. And his wife 2 years ago died with cancer, and he's grieving so hard. And I start to talk to him, and he's crying, and he never cries. If you were to see him in life, you would think he's like a terrorist. He's got like a beard like down a ear, and he has this crazy look in his eye. He's just, woohoo, and he's a cutthroat attorney. In 40 years of representing TBN, he's never lost a case. And he looked at me last night, and he says, no. We're not friends, we're brothers. Glory. Last night, One visitation draws people into your life that you need to have in your life. When I was in Buffalo and I was devastated, I didn't need to come back to Atlanta. I needed to come to Griffin. And you were my friend. And it was, come on, Barbara, it was like almost every night when we would be together, we could be laughing, we could be talking, and then there would be like a visitation. And God would just say something else. How many visitations, son, have we seen? We have a program to go pick up kids from the housing complexes in Miami, and we would give them free dental care, then bring them all to church and get them saved. My boys, my boy Donnell Holmes, linebacker for Alabama State, goes into the place where his mother lives, public housing, and they shoot him and kill him over a $100 necklace. And I'm sitting there and looking at his dead, lifeless body, and God gives me a visitation, and he says, for every one that the enemy takes from you, you take 10,000 from him. And that's where we started the revolution. And we went up and down the East Coast. We were on TV in front of millions of people. What happened? One visitation. And it can be something's happened in your life that's horrific. One visitation. Right, Missy? One visitation changes everything. Bow your heads. Come up. Just bring the worship team. Can the worship team just come up? I need you to be in the spirit. God will tell you what to sing. I want you to open. Just lift your hands up and just go, God, I'm open. I'm open for visitation. I'm open for an encounter from you. Come on, just begin to just say, visit me, Lord. Visit me today. Visit me today. I want you just right now to touch somebody next to you. Touch somebody next to you. And I just want you to say, God, I believe that you're going to give them a visitation. You're going to give them a visit. Come on. Come on, everywhere. A visitation. This is going to be like real prophetic worship. Whatever you sing, it's just going, you're going to see. You'll just follow the Spirit, but in some of this, you're going to be prophesying to yourself. I don't know exactly who you are, but there is a real spirit on you, baby. You're going to have a visitation even this day. A visitation this day. See, that's what it takes. Just say, God, I'm ready to receive it. You ready? You ready? You ready to receive? I need you just to say, God. See, some of you are so hungry. I can sense that you're so hungry for what's next. Scary. I want you to say, God, I come against all fear in my life. I come against all fear in my life. I come against any tradition in my life. In the name of Jesus, I am so open. I am so open to a visitation from you. I'm so open. I'm so open for a visitation from you. God, this day, wow, this was a divine appointment. Father, I pray you just speak to people's mind and their spirit. As we worship right now, just open your spirit. Don't be afraid. No preconceived ideas, no stress. I want you right now, just that's it. Wow, 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 wow. Pastor Buren, there are so many things that God's given you revelation on, and God's going to show you how all those things fit together. And the fitting together of all of the relations, the revelations that he's given you, is going to come out with this profound word. And people are going to come after that word. This is the time of putting the pieces together. Yeah, we're going to do some powerful things together. Can you just stand and just lift your hands up? There's something about just standing in his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Speak to your people today. Renew and refresh. Renew and refresh. Man, from the back row to the front row, this place is just like so full of the Spirit. So full. God, I pray that you touch into the hospital to Missy right now. That's just like she's right here. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. For everybody that's not here, God, I pray that you just visit them wherever they are. Visit them wherever they are. Visit them. Oh, man, I tell you, there is such a power in this room right now. There's such a power in this room. God, visit us. Visit us, Father, with your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just listen. Listen. Yeah, Dustin.
This song says the war is over. That means there's no war. The visitation's here. And it's the simple surrender. The surrender to that visitation, the surrender to that presence, the surrender to that word.
Receive the revelation. Receive the revelation. revelation. Visitation. I'm just going to challenge you to step out and come down here. Step out and come down here. Come. Step out and come down here. You want a visitation? This right here is your time. This is such a sovereign moment. You're in so many times, there is such a lack of fathers in the world. Fathers give children their identity. A great father in this house. Amen. He's a great father. Amen. Come here, Buren. Come here, baby. I want to pray a new identity for you. Would you just lift your hands? You see, God wants to give you an identity. A visitation gives you a new identity. It's like I talked last time about a reinvention. It gives you a new identity. I want you just to lift your hands. Wow, wow, wow. But when you lifted your hands, sir, I want you to lift your hands and just go, God, show me who I am. Oh, wow, 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 wow. Say it three times, God. Show me who I am. Man, the Spirit of the Lord is all on you. Just say it, Lord, show me who I am. Oh, it's not what you think. It's greater. Connie, this is, show me who I am. Boy, you're on assignment being here today. Show me who I am. Show me who I am. Oh, my baby. Show me who I am. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You don't even know. Show me who I am. Say it. God, show me who I am. Yeah. Yeah, right there. Show me who I am. Show me. I love you so much. Now, I want you to let God just, will you do it? Just let him show you. Show me who I am. Oh, it's more than you think. It's more than you think. See, you expected something today. And God is going to meet your expectations. Show me who I am. Show me. Oh, my God. There's a visitation coming right here. There's a visitation coming right here. Do away with your old ideas of who you are. It's a visitation. What a mighty man of God. See it? See it. You're a mighty man of God. Just surrender and say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. I will do it.
Yes.
I'm just telling you. This is just the platform to where this ministry is going to be launched. It's an hour of visitation. It's an hour of visitation. And it's going to be when all of you just receive, God, visit me. Visit me. Come on, just open yourself to the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Just say, God, I'm open. I'm open. I'm open. I'm open. Reform me. Retouch me. He might send you back to the place you don't want to be. But it's where the visitation is. It's where the blessings are. Visitation. Visitation, visitation, visitation. This is the hour of your visitation. Don't let the old define you. Don't let the old define you. Don't let the old define you. Sing, baby. Come on, worship. Just worship. Let this word just move in you, just move in you, just move in you.
Scott, am I in the house, Jacob? Scott Scherpinski, I felt while you were speaking, I got to spend a week with Kate and Scott and Cabo, and God has called you to be a father to many. I know you're a father to Kat. And even with your connection with John, there's a fatherhood there.
Mm-hmm.
But God's called you to be a father to many. And you're going to father many. Many. You have an Ezekiel anointing. What God's doing is he's coming full circle with you. There's been the season of planting and the season now of harvest is upon you. But it seems like things were slowing down, but it was like the winter. And that you had planted and planted, but now the harvest is coming. But God says that when you speak over the people, there's life in your words. You're like Ezekiel. Can these bones live again? And God wants you to begin to prophesy over the house. And you probably never looked at yourself as a youth pastor because you are the heir apparent. But God says he wants you to build your own congregation. And then the congregation that exists is the infrastructure, the scaffolding, and the pillars of the next generation that you will build. And I know she's your daughter, but I saw a whole band around her and her singing in a mic at the piano and then you preaching. And the generation that comes up is the next generation that you will shepherd and you will be the voice. But it was as though everyone in here is the facilitators of this next generation that's coming in. And all of these young people are a part of it. But you're the voice. You are the voice. And Jason, it's funny that God would give this word about this house, but what I saw you doing was with a mic in your hand, but the way that you spoke to the people and the youth was with comedy. But you had the prophetic in your voice, but you drew them with the joy of the Lord that's in you. But you had such a comedy, but it was prophetic. I don't even understand that. But I saw it. And Father, I just want to seal that word, because the word to Pastor Buren is so much about his voice and the next generation voice. When he speaks will happen. And Father, I seal that word. I cover that word in the blood of Jesus. I cover this house. This house that your hand has so sovereignly been on through the years. And now is a season of planting. Now the harvest is coming. I cover that word and I seal it. In Jesus' name.
Reach out and touch somebody by the hand, everybody.
Sometimes there really is a visitation when we touch one another. There's a corporate visitation that God is sending, and it's not distant. It's happening. I come to help fuel it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we touch each other. We touch each other. We believe in each other. We speak faith to one another. We bind each other with cords of love together, and we right now realize that your visitation affects my visitation. My visitation affects your visitation. There is a synergy here in this house, this day. And I cover you in the blood of Jesus. I cover you covenantally in the blood of Jesus. That every word that he's spoken, not one word would fall to the ground. Not one word would fall to the ground. But everything that God says is yea and amen. It shall surely come to pass. And though it tarries, wait for it shall surely happen. Thank you, Father. Just bring the music down real soft just for a minute. And just listen. Just listen. Just close your eyes and listen. Still small voice. Going to hear some great visitation, and when you're way up in the atmosphere, you're flying above all the others, there's a clarity of vision that'll come. He will hear, you'll hear, you'll hear. And when you do, just say, Pastor, I heard. I want you just to, if you heard something today in your spirit, I want you just to lift your hand. Let me see it. You heard something. Look at this, Pastor. You heard something today. That's precious. That's precious. That's, oh my God. I want you to rehearse it over and over. You heard it. You heard today.
you heard today. Now, don't let the enemy mess with you. Say it out loud. I heard today. I heard something today. And if God said it, that's just it. That's just it. I heard it. Turn to somebody beside you. Go, I heard something today from God. I heard something. You did? Look at me and go, I did. I did. I heard something today. That's worth it all. That's worth it all. The books that God has given me, what it is a series of visitations. Sonny's book on Fight for the Family. It's a visit. It's how to war over your family. You got friends that are single. You need to get them that. It'll help them have a visitation of who they're supposed to marry. People have been divorced. It's the most powerful grieving. There's no end to it. It's like they're still there. It's a grieving. It's a pain. But there is life.
No.
There's life after divorce. They're there for you. I love you. Bless you. Thank you for helping me. And thank you for what you give today. We got a big vision here. And I promise you, you're part of that. You are part of that. Buren Goss, I love you.
Love you too.
Barbara, I love you so much. My family. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe seated just for a moment. Then when Dwayne was speaking to me about putting the pieces together, just show you how prophetic that is. I hate puzzles. I think they're right out of hell. If you put puzzles together, you need to stop. It's going to drive you crazy. And I walked by and I watched Jet putting Legos together and then one piece at a time and just build these big old spaceships. And I'm like, how do you do that? And when God spoke this word to me about reclaiming our ancient paths, he said, you're going to go and you're going to take out from the old and you're going to take from the new. And you're going to piece it together. That I've given you the anointing to put this together. And that's what I heard God today. You can do it. Because it's a big task.
Yes, it is.
But to know I can do it. I can do it. I will be able to do it. And when the puzzle's together, you're going to see this most glorious picture of peace. I don't know what it will look like. I have no clue. But it's going to be this glorious, beautiful picture. A peace that passes all understanding. Peace that we all want every day. I still hear from time to time ministers say, peace is not the absence of trouble. I don't know what peace is if it's not the absence of trouble. It destroys chaos. You can't have trouble and peace at the same time. You can't have trouble and peace at the same time. But there is a peace. And he came to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And he came to destroy chaos. He started that in Genesis by taking a chaotic world and speaking into it and bringing order and life and light. He's a good God.
Yes, he is.
He's a good God. We started something new last week, and that is over half our people give online now. I know over half our people aren't even here today because spring break and a lot of other things going on. But If you have a tithe and offering and you want to give at the end of a service, there's four boxes on the walls. You just drop them in there. But for this offering, I want to receive for Dwayne, if the ushers will be passing the buckets. The only time you'll see buckets is when we have a guest minister. So just cherish this bucket when it comes by, because you're not going to see them pretty buckets very often. But when you do, it's for a special, special gift. If you'll just make that one out, or if I know a lot of you will go online and give to the ministry, so when you have the opportunity to do that. But can you just give a hand? Can you say thank you, God, for this day, for sending us Bishop Swilly to speak a word in due season, to open our hearts, our minds, our lives afresh and anew, to have a Kenos life, that I'm going to be revived, I'm going to be renewed, I'm going to be refreshed. Ongoing times of refreshing, said, will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so, God, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Thank you for peace. Thank you for peace in my marriage. Thank you for peace in my relationships. Thank you for peace in every area of my life. Thank you for giving me the ability, Lord, to just cipher through all these things and all these thoughts, bring them together under one understanding of who you are, that you're the God who created all things. You're the God who is in all things. You're God who works through all things. You're in us. You're through us. You're about us. You're around us. Help us to see you in every area of our life. Help us to see you, God. Help us to see you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We receive this day your word to change our lives for the better. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.